Hi, Craig. Ken Freeland. Okay, so I'm.
Joe Balter.
Oh, Joe Balter. Got it. Orling, that was his name. I'm sorry. I was trying to remember. Who else? So I have Sheila Casey, Jeffrey Orling, Robin Horden, Craig McKee, Ken Freeland, Joe Balter.
That's a B-A-L-T-A-R.
Got it. And Anna Yisley. Anyone else on the call?
Ben Collett.
Oh, Ben Collett. Got it. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
Did is it Mesmerin make it on
it
the call?
It was early in.
Is that
I heard him earlier.
Dan, did you
I heard
get
you.
On? Oh.
This is Shelton.
Hi, Shelton. So we just added Shelton Langford. I've got
okay,
Shelton.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, go ahead and read the rule, and if nobody else is on the call, then we'll go ahead and get started.
Okay, Sheila Casey, Jeffrey Orling, Robin Horden, Craig McKee, Ken Freeland, Joe Baltar, Anna Yisley, Ben Collett, Shelton Langford, and a question mark after Ben Collett.
What's the question?
Oh, so you're here with us. Okay, very good. No
yeah.
more questions. That was good.
Okay, then. If no one else is on the call, then I guess we can go ahead and get started tonight. This is our 9/11 Truth Teleconference for the month of December, it being 12/28/2011. Anna did, I think, circulate the minutes yesterday from the previous conference. Was there any amendments to the minutes? Hearing none, then we'll take the minutes for approved. Moving on to tonight's agenda, there are no, actually for the first time in our recorded history, we do not have a scheduled agenda item tonight, so if anybody would
yeah,
care
I would,
to...
I would like to have just a few minutes to speak. Joe Balter.
I'm sorry, who's this?
Joe
Balter?
Yes.
Well, for what? Speak about what, Joe?
I've been sent an email. There's a new film that's coming out this week called A Noble Lie.
Okay. You'd like to announce a new film coming out?
Yes. It details,
okay.
yeah, the evidence, overwhelming evidence that nails the FBI for creating the Oklahoma City bombing.
Okay. With no objection, then Joe Balter will be given a few minutes to talk about a new film. Anything else? Anybody else who would like an agenda item?
Yes, I'd like to, if I could, Ken, I'm sorry just to have thought of this on the fly, if anyone would like to hear just about what I'm doing or I see happening in Virginia regarding, long-term goal is to see that an investigation of Pentagon is conducted, and I believe it would have to be done by the Virginia State Legislature, because Pentagon is in Virginia, and so it's under their jurisdiction. So the long-term plan, meaning I'm trying to establish some connections with state legislators and other countries.
You'd like a few minutes to talk about long-term plans for Pentagon investigation in Virginia, right?
Virginia State Legislature, too. So just, yeah, if I could just,
okay.
pull a little bit in.
All right. All right, with no objection, then we'll add Anna's item after the first one. And Robin, go ahead.
Yes, actually, Ken, I had responded to you. Probably didn't quite maybe get to your emails today, but I sort of have I sent three items, and actually four, but Anna just talked about one that I would be interested in, and I would like to add to the agenda some information feedback from the Occupy movement regarding how it's interreacting, interrelating with 9/11. I would like just a general discussion on the status of 9/11, what people think, and I would also just simply like to put small discussion about what I think is the single most important anniversary engagement to the 9/11 Truth Movement, and that is 9/11/2012. So those are three issues: Occupy, status of 9/11, and then the next anniversary, and then I'm going to back up what Anna is talking about regarding the Pentagon American 77. That's all.
Well, okay, those are three different agenda items. Maybe those are really discussion items is what you're saying, right? You'd like those to be pinpointed for a discussion tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so why don't we, if nobody has a problem with this, please excuse my voice tonight, but it's failing me, and I'm not going to be able to talk much tonight. from whatever I'm coming down with. So,
also, Ken, if I could interject, this is Anna Yais. I've also had a few ideas about the minutes, and perhaps we could have a small discussion also about the minutes. We had a vote last month regarding keeping the minutes alive, but anyway, so if we could add that, if I don't know if it needs to be an agenda item, but I had some new ideas.
I second that, Robin.
Ideas on the minutes. Well, I bet should probably be a first item since it's in the housekeeping item. Can we keep it to 5 minutes, Anna?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then who is it that wanted to talk about the film again?
Joe Balter.
Joe. Okay, Joe. All right. So here's what we've got, if it's agreeable to everybody. We've got, Anna's going to talk for just a few minutes about regarding the minutes issues. Then Joe will announce a new film and give us a description of that. Anna will talk about the Pentagon, long-term Pentagon investigation issues. And then we'll move into discussion mode where we will be asked to discuss the relation of the Occupy movement to the 9/11 Truth Movement, the status of the 9/11 Truth Movement in general, and the upcoming 11th anniversary of the 9/11 Truth of 9/11. Does that sound agreeable to everybody as a agenda for tonight?
Good.
Don Sherlian on the call just got on.
Okay.
Don Sherlian.
Okay. All right, Don. So if there are no objections, then that will be our agenda for tonight. Okay. Anna, go ahead with your minutes issue.
I would like to discuss about someone else. Someone else would like to volunteer to be secretary or to take the minutes. I've so enjoyed being secretary and being part of the call. But I'm feeling like my time of being able to get things accomplished is kind of running a little low, so I can't keep up. I'm just the emails are, and it's not that there's too many emails, in my opinion. My attention just isn't there right now. I'm very committed to the 9/11 Truth Movement and will always be. But I think that at certain times you have to realize that there are other issues and there are other things, and if you keep putting it, and so not that I'm, you know, I'd like to lead out with the 9/11 issue, but I think there are some bigger and more important and all connecting, intertwining issues that I'd like to focus on right now. So one of them is this. So that's about the minutes. I'm thinking if we could just record, it wouldn't be very difficult or time consuming, just to record any votes, any motions, just like everyone's been trying to say, but not to try to transcribe, which is what I've been trying to do, is transcribe the minutes as if, you know, it's a transcription kind of thing. So. Of course, no one has time to do that. And if we're just going to do the motions, I'm wondering if someone could volunteer to do that and just allow me to get more focus on other things. And I apologize for not getting the minutes out sooner as well.
All right. So, Anna, you'd like to resign as secretary? Is that what this comes down to?
Yes, I think that, yes. I think that would be
great. All right. All right. Well, we should acknowledge the fact that Anna did make a 6-month commitment, and she's gone, I think, past that commitment. So the secretary position is open if anyone would be willing to take that responsibility of just recording who's here and what we decide on. You don't have to do anything more than that. Would anybody be interested in taking Anna's place?
This is Craig McKee. I might be able to do that. I would volunteer to do that if nobody else was desperate for it.
Thank you very much. Hearing no objections, then Craig will volunteer to serve as our scribe for the next, hopefully for this, a 6-month period like Anna did, but for however long he thinks he can do it. And again, we simplified the question of taking the minutes last week so that it is it's just a question of taking the names of who's here and what actions the group takes, if any. But discussion is just mentioned that it took place, but not specifics about what was discussed. Not specifics about who said what. Okay. Thank you very much, Craig. So, Anna, you'll complete the minutes for today, right? And this will be your last time, then Craig will pick it up next month?
Yes.
All right.
Begin the recording? I just want to double check because I definitely rely on that. Okay, very good. I'll be happy to do that.
Thank you, Craig. All right.
I have a question. If this might be a good time for me to ask. Is that okay?
Yeah. Who's asking?
Craig.
Sorry. Yes. Go ahead, Craig.
Based on last month's discussion, it seemed to me that we had sort of agreed not only to list, you know, votes and attendance, but also to indicate that discussions had taken place on given topics. Not necessarily to report on everything that was said, but you know, to say that so and so gave a report on this, and you know, as long as you know, my concern was not so much that we had too much in the minutes before; it was just that I wanted to make sure that it was clear that you know it was coming from an individual as opposed to just sort of a general statement. But.
Well, reports are kind of the oddball category, and if someone is making a scheduled report, in other words, we've asked somebody to make a particular report on something, then recording the gist of what they have to say might be relevant. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, if somebody's just making an impromptu report on something, like for example, tonight we're going to get a report on a new movie. You know, just make that should be treated as an announcement, and the announcement should be listed, and that's it. You know, then there's no more to it than that, right?
Right. Okay. Great.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions on this topic before we move on?
I have a question about Jeffrey.
Jeffrey?
Yeah, I have a question about the distribution of the minutes and so on and so forth. I noticed that the list of the people that were receiving the distribution, some of them haven't been on the call ever, it seems, or haven't been on the call for 6 or 8 months or a year. Why are they getting distribution of the minutes? Weren't they sort of dropped from the call or something? What's the story with that?
The story with that is the people who we distribute to are people that were put on the list by Jonathan Mark in the first place and may or may not have ever shown up for a conference call but have never objected to receiving the agendas in the minutes, so they continue to receive them. There has never been any decision made about doing it any other way, so we just continue to do it that way.
Ken, one suggestion on your BCC list, could you put that in alphabetical order?
That might be. May I interject, Ken? I have email addresses, and I mean, do you know everybody the name and the email address to connect? I can send a list of the current email addresses because, and I can even have that in alphabetical order, but I don't necessarily have the corresponding first name last names with them.
I think the BCC list should be in alphabetical order. Any computer could do that for you.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. I can do that.
Yeah, I guess the BCC list could be in alphabetical order as long as we keep our master list so that it's connected with the email addresses, so it should be okay.
Oh, I see. So they do correspond with the email address.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm always looking for names in alphabetical order, and I have to go through the whole list before I see.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ken.
Recognize.
Why don't I put it in an Excel document, and that would give us an opportunity to sort it any way that we needed to.
Yeah, well, as long as the BCC is alphabetical, that's all. I'm looking for.
And that'll help keep it in check in case we delete a, like I might have deleted an email address not realizing it was corresponding in order with that one. Good. So so that'd help us make sure we keep the names and emails tied together. So I'd be happy to do that, but yeah, I'd love somebody to go through it and check it because, you know, some of the emails you can't tell who it is just through the email, and just to double check that.
Okay. That would be helpful, Anna. Thank you. All right, so Anna will do that, and let's see. Joe, would you like to tell us about the film?
Wait a minute, yeah. Robin on the stack here.
Robin, did you want to talk about the minutes?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry, I thought we were finished with that. Go ahead.
I called out three times, but you didn't hear it.
No. There's a lot of background noise. Excuse me. There's a whole lot of background noise here. If anybody has got that noise going on in their background, if they could just press star six will make, you know, go ahead and happen. Star six. There. I think that did it. Whoever just starts, no, still getting it.
No, we have some feedback on this line, Ken.
Yeah, it looks like it. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robin.
I just wanted to make two comments about the minutes. Number one comment is that I find it wholly appropriate and extremely important that everybody who was on the list originally keeps on getting sent information about this teleconference. This is not a time to condense. This is a time to continually crawl ahead and expand. Point number two would be, I just want to get it clear in my mind. It seems to me that with the recording and people being able to just record or listen to the recording of this event, that really we only need sort of bullet points about what the teleconference has covered. Am I interpreting this correctly here as to what the general move ahead will be? Just kind of bullet points and then letting people sort of tie into the recording?
Yeah, Robin, basically that's, I think, what the group decided last teleconference, that we just wanted to simplify like that, and because if you don't want to hear who said what on a discussion, they can go to the recording and listen to it. It's always available.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if there's no further anything further to say on the minutes, let's move ahead to the first
item. I'm sorry, this is Anna. I'm sorry, I was muted and I didn't remember, so I was talking. I'm just going to make a suggestion for Craig that when you listen to the transcription, it is possible to say that this discussion, you know, started around this minute mark, and, you know, I don't know if that's too much trouble, but I typically listen to the whole discussion anyway. So while we're listening, it would be possible to put the minute mark so that someone could fast forward the tape and listen to. I don't know if that's too much trouble, but it seems like that might be a good idea.
Entirely optional, at your discretion, Craig, okay? If you'd like to do that, fine. If not, that's okay, too. Okay. All right, so with no further ado, let's move on to Mr. Baltar's movie recommendation. Go ahead.
Okay, if people can't hear me, just speak up.
Excuse me, that echo, I believe, is someone using the speakerphone. I think when you use the speakerphone, it's echoing. So that could be the cause, even if you're muted, if it's... Oh, anyway, that was just a suggestion.
Okay, I'm not on the speakerphone. Okay, for the people who don't know me, I was involved making 9/11 Press for Truth with Kyle Hentz in 2002. I volunteered to spend a week with Kyle in Washington, D.C., shooting a conference at the National Press Club. And eventually, Kyle took my footage over to Guerrilla News Network and made unanswered questions. And then I introduced him to Danny Schechter at Global Vision, and he went over there, and they wound up producing 9/11 Press for Truth. Prior to 9/11, I have been involved from 1989 through 2002 organizing an annual conference that looked at crimes committed by FBI agents. It was held at Boston University the first year, co-sponsored by Professor Howard Zinn, and for the next 11 years it was held at Bates College until the FBI agent in charge of the 9/11 anthrax investigation quit the job at the FBI and took a job at Bates College running the campus police. So the next year I moved it up to the University of Maine in Farmington. During the 13 years prior to 9/11, we looked at FBI involvement creating the first World Trade Center bombing and the Oklahoma City bombing. So in keeping with what I just said, yesterday I spoke with Attorney Jesse Trenadue with regards to him coming to Maine to speak. And he couldn't make it. We've been trying to bring him to Maine for the last couple of years. And he recommended that I contact a filmmaker in Oklahoma City who has just come out with a new film as I speak to you. It's called A Noble Lie. That's spelled A-N-O-B-L-E-L-I-E. And it details the evidence enough to convict in a court of law FBI agents creating the Oklahoma City bombing and the first World Trade Center bombing. So what I'm asking people do is to check out the website. I'm going to give his phone number out and see if you're interested in the film, see if you can bring him to show and screen a film in your area. His name is Chris Emery, E-M-E-R-Y. His phone number is area code 405-905-0171. Now, he may come on the line tonight. I gave him the conference call number and told him about the conference tonight, and he may come on and talk to you directly. Just in case he doesn't, that's why I'm speaking now. So if anybody has any questions, feel free to ask. I would also ask the group, as I have in the past, to consider putting together a rapid response team because I suspect we're going to have another terrorist event any time now. And it would really be great if our group could hit the ground running and investigate the event and not have to do it after the fact. I've said what I got to say. Any questions?
Joe, this is Robin Horton. Not a question, but just thank you.
That's it. Anybody else want to speak, have something to say about what their item agenda is?
Joe, you tell us if that film is available like on YouTube or something like that to watch?
I didn't hear you, but you said something about the film. The film has just come out this week. In fact, so many orders are sold, it's on back order. They're restocking. So if you go to the website, you can find out everything you need to know. Just Google the word A Noble Lie. The filmmaker's name is Chris Emery, E-M-E-R-Y.
Okay.
You'll also be able to see a trailer on YouTube.
Oh, good. Good. I'd like to let people know that I'm going to take a test here very quickly and mute every one of your lines individually temporarily to make sure that the problem that we're experiencing is not in somebody's line. So please hold tight while I run this test, okay? Wow. I found it first try, I think.
There is one thing I'd like to mention. Hello? I'd like to mention something to Joe. Ken, I sent you an email today about an article in The Sovereign, the title of which is Official FBI Reports of Israelis Arrested on 9/11 Was Leaked. Did you have a chance to read that email I sent you?
No.
Is this Joe? Who did you send it to?
I guess it goes to Ken. In other words, it doesn't go, if you saw your reply all, the people on the blind copy don't get to see it. So Ken, you're the only one that got it. But you had mentioned, can I read that to you? It says the proposed agenda.
No, I'm sorry, Joe, you're out of order here. We're talking about the FBI.
That's on the subject.
No, we're talking about this film and how to get it into your community and any facts related to this film. Is this about the film?
Well, it's about the FBI reports where they've shown or they've leaked it. So it has to do with the subject of the film. Plus, I didn't get the name of the fellow who was speaking. I got his first name.
Oh, okay.
Was Joe.
Yeah.
What's his last name? Joe what?
It's Balter, B-A-L-T-A-R.
Does anybody hear that echo anymore?
Yeah.
Still here, huh?
Okay. I think it's the system, Ken. I think it's the phone connection.
Okay.
Yeah, all of a sudden I was unmuted.
Yeah, I'm reminded that this past year when we interviewed Richard Gage on the local radio station, we would have clicking every few seconds, and the station manager said they never had that in the entire history of the doing the shows there.
Okay,
so I suspect we got somebody else that might be playing around.
This is the first time to deal with this, so anyway, okay. Joe, have you got the answer to your question then?
What's that?
Did you get the answer to your question?
I still didn't get the name of Joe. What's Joe's last name? Hello?
My last name is Balter, B-A-L-T-A-R.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, if there's no further questions about the movie, and thank you for that recommendation, Joe. Does anybody have no further comments on that, then we can move on to our next...
Yes, this is Chris. Can you hear me?
Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Joe, this is Chris. You asked me to call
in.
Go ahead.
Introduce yourself.
Yes, this is Chris Emery. I'm one of the co-producers, and I do the voiceover narration for the new feature-length film called The Noble Lie, Oklahoma City, 1995. I was a little tardy getting in the studio here, and Joe had invited me to call in from our studio here in Oklahoma City. And so I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you've got a full agenda, but I'm not quite sure what information you wanted me to present, Joe.
Well, I just gave you a phone number and the name of the film, and I asked people, once they checked out the information, I would urge them to try to bring you into their community and screen the film and have you give a talk.
Okay, I appreciate that, and all of you can understand that that is my personal cell phone, so I would appreciate, level of, I guess, respect on the privacy. I don't mind getting calls. I'm on the central time zone, so anything before 10:30 p.m. would be great. Anything after 7 a.m. would be okay. If I don't answer, either I'm on the set or in studio, and I'll be happy to return your call at my earliest convenience. So I do appreciate this opportunity.
Well, we certainly welcome your presence on our call and the work that you're doing that's certainly relevant to what we're doing. And people have your contact information. Does anybody have any questions for Chris now that he's here?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ben Collett in Seattle. I have we have a public access TV show called Investigate 9/11 Weekly.
Okay.
I wonder if you would have any objection to us showing that movie, which I already have a copy of. It's excellent.
I would be flattered. Your first name is Ben?
Right.
I would be flattered if you did that, and we've been asked that several times, including an interview with Alex Jones, and that is the highest form of flattery. And thank you for asking, and yes, you do have our permission. Just make sure if you wouldn't mind so we can just get a fair plug for the website, either freemindfilms.com or innovali.com, and they're welcome to contact us at contact@freemindfilms.com with any questions.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Robin on the stack.
Yeah, go ahead, Robin.
Yes, somewhat familiar with the film. I've taken a little bit of a look with Alex Jones and your interview and stuff down there.
Yes,
a question that I have is whether you are familiar with a 9/11 researcher's work. Her name is Barbara Honegger.
Yes,
and
in fact,
she is
Barbara.
Doing a really great job at doing some investigatory work about an early internal explosion Pentagon, which is well before what the what we call the official conspiracy theory has it. The reason that I ask is that this seems to fit the same pattern of not only Oklahoma, but the WTC in 93, and obviously the three WTCs on 9/11, and the Pentagon now on 9/11. All internal bombs. Are you familiar with her work?
I am to some point. I first met Barbara back in New York on the, I think it was the 5th year anniversary of the bombing. I was asked to speak at Midtown Church, and she was on the dais, on the table next to the dais where I was speaking. I definitely felt very humbled. I was in, among peers, and she had mentioned that she was working on a white paper about the Pentagon at the time, and I think that was included there. Beyond that, and the casual passing mention of that work, I have not had a chance to review it in detail.
I would, may I suggest that you reach out to her and re-engage that conversation? She has done really astonishing work that has pretty much shown that there was also at the Pentagon internal explosive devices.
I will do that. I appreciate the suggestion. Just as you can imagine, we've been pretty much running to keep up with ourselves here for the last 2.5 years in pre-production and then the final release. But thank you for the tip, and I'll definitely follow up on that.
Equal, huh?
Could I also give a website, Chris, to you where you can get a lot of information? This is Donald Cerulean. I'm a professional engineer, member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. The website is voicesofsafety.com/PCC/911/. Did you get that okay?
Okay. Yes.
Right, now on that, what you're going to do there is click on the 9/11 Truth Proclamation. And I present three pieces of evidence. One, the free fall time. The other, the fact that the explosives in the explosives found in the dust was from a U.S. military lab.
Mm.
And then the third, I can't even remember what the third was. I'm 84 years old, so remember, I draw a blank sometimes. But anyway, check out that website. What I've been trying to do is get a citizen's grand jury investigation, because we're past the point of having another 9/11 investigation. What
right,
we want
right.
is a citizen's grand jury.
And
I would like to find people that know the law, where we can get volunteer attorneys so we can get this thing going, because you're never going to get a grand jury investigation through the government at any level, because people have tried that. I guess Bill has tried that out in California, and they just don't accept it. They won't even entertain putting it up for.
Okay, Don. Thank you. But we're talking about this movie right now. Do you have any questions or comments about the movie?
No, except that I'd like to look at it.
Let's let somebody else speak. Okay, because Chris's time is limited. I'm sure. Anybody else want to say something to Chris while he's here?
This is Craig McKee.
Great. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would just like to ask you if it's okay if I give you a call to do an interview about the film, because I have a website and I do interviews, and it's a blog, whatever, that deals mostly with 9/11, but not exclusively. So
yes, that would be great, Craig. If you wouldn't mind, let me give you my email address too.
Sure.
It's just simply Chris and then Emery, M as in Michael, at cox.net. And just send the particulars there, and I'll line it up with our director, and we'll get at least two We've got a state-of-the-art high condenser mics and radio studio here too, so we're very fortunate to have that, and we could patch in through Skype and give you good quality audio.
Awesome! Great
transmission. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay. Any other questions or comments for Chris?
Yeah, Joe Balter. Once more, Chris, briefly tell us who some of the key people you interviewed in the film.
Well, there was actually we interviewed over 23 for the film. We were able to include, I believe, 20 of them, and then we have a feature. We're going to have a feature cuts on what they call an anniversary edition coming out on the 17th. W. Craig Roberts, retired Tulsa Police Department investigator. He's key to this because he was actually asked by the FBI field office in Tulsa to come on within days of the bombing, I believe within the second day after, to look for the true perpetrators. And they basically systematically lied to him for about 6 months, and then he finally just recused himself from the case. Jane Graham, one of the survivors of the bombing, saw perpetrators in the second level below the ground floor of the Murrah building, three-level parking ramp, basically placing what appeared to be C4. And we have the head of the Oklahoma City Bombing Investigation Committee, Charles Key, state representative, V.Z. Lawton, a survivor off the eighth floor. Let's see here. We have a paramedic, Mike Nations, who saw some of the perpetrators. Janie Coverdale, 75-year-old grandmother of two of the grandbabies that were killed. And of course, Jesse Trenadue, a lawyer out of Salt Lake City. His brother was brutally tortured and murdered at the transfer facility. You folks are familiar with Con Air, the actual air side, the air transport side of the Bureau of Prisons for the federal government. Their main hub in the United States is here in Oklahoma City, about 2 miles west of the commercial airport, international airport. He was murdered at that facility because he actually was a spit and image, a stunt double of one of the perpetrators the federal government didn't want us to know about that actually helped the McVeigh in the months leading up. So, I mean, the list goes on and on. And so we're very, very honored to have some of these folks, a retired police officer, for instance. So I'm very confident you'll be pleased with the movie and the quality of the interviews that we have.
Great. Wow. It sounds like quite a movie. Anybody else wish to make a comment or have a question for Chris?
Thank you for your time, gentlemen. I know you've got a lot to cover.
Thank you. We know you're busy too, Chris. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us tonight.
Be safe and have a great evening, gentlemen. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. I guess we're ready for our next subject, which is Anna, speaking about the Pentagon investigation long-term plans. Go ahead, Anna. Anna Yeisley.
Okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yes. Is my line okay? It didn't make everything murky because I do have a phone that sometimes doesn't work well. So.
No, actually, everything seems to have cleared up. No, I guess not. No, there comes the echo again. All right. Well, anyway, go ahead.
Okay, just a second.
Who is this, Ken, that's speaking now?
This is Anna Yeisley, our secretary. She's speaking about the long-term plans for Pentagon investigation.
Okay, this is Anna Yeisley. So this is about the state legislature. I'm convinced that the federal government or the political system that defines itself as a federal government is basically deaf, dumb, and blind to citizen will. It's created to ignore us. It's created to develop something and not even tell us what it is. They're developing something, not even telling us what they're doing. And I believe that the only way is to go back to our state legislators and to those states that have good Bill of Rights that can remind us of the Bill of Rights that protect our life, liberty, and property, or freedom to privacy, right to privacy. And so I am going to the legislators and going with the Bill of Rights of Virginia. In Virginia, there's 16 Bill of Rights opposed to 10 in the federal Constitution. And I'm seeing that the way to defeat this thing is on a state and local level. And so I think that's common, kind of common knowledge. Like, for instance, the 8911 Truth, they're starting to contact sheriffs and local folk. That's going to work a lot better than trying to go to the federal government, in my opinion. So in Spotsylvania County here in Virginia, there is a case against the Commonwealth Attorney that one of the local citizens is bringing. And I'm not going to go into detail, but it's a very important case, I believe, that's setting a precedent on how we can, as citizens, take on the judicial system, which leads to the idea of the citizen grand jury. I can't believe, Joe, were you the one speaking about a citizen grand jury. Well, the citizen, a special grand jury, convening a special grand jury, gives that grand jury access to state police investigative money and facilities or whatever. So getting a citizen grand jury is going to be the way to do this, because it will bypass not only the federal government, the media, but it also will bypass the actual federal judicial system, because it's going to be taken on a county and state level. In terms of these, in terms of 9/11, the Twin Towers happened in New York, and in Pennsylvania, that happened in Pennsylvania, and the Pentagon, whatever happened there, happened in Virginia, and I believe these are the key states that are going to need to decide on a state level that an investigation is required. So that's where my push and that's where my focus is, and I'm floored at the amount of folk who are seem to be all of a sudden drawn to the same area of realization that we have to go it would be a good idea, recommended, to talk to our local sheriffs and our legislators, our state legislators. Our local folk aren't as corrupted as the federal government. They're not in on the scheme like I believe the federally elected phony thing is. So that's what I wanted to say. Welcome to state, and if there's any questions, but that's all I really want to say and share.
Donna Sterling, I have tried that, Annie, and I've gone so far as to call Sheriff Richard Mack up, where he has, if you're familiar with that, he has this organization called Constitutional Sheriffs. I have gotten absolutely nowhere with him. I've tried my local county sheriff, gotten absolutely nowhere. All these people know that 9/11 was done in the United States, and they all know this, and they are not about to touch it with a 10-foot pole. That's why a citizen's grand jury investigation of, by, and for the citizens, started by citizens, is the only thing. And I don't know how to do it. I'm too old to do it at 84. I'm asking for the 9/11 Truth Movement people to get together and use this as a first priority item and start pursuing that. And this is what I'm proposing on this call. Everyone on this call, take a vote. Are you willing to make this our number one priority? As a member, as this conference call, I would like to propose a vote on this right now.
I think you're out of order. I'm sorry, Don, you're out of order.
Why am I
out
of order?
It's not an agenda item, okay? You didn't put it on the agenda for
a
vote.
No, we're talking about it now. Let's make it an
agenda. We're talking about Anna's discussion about using the state level in Virginia to pursue this, okay?
She's talking about a citizen's grand jury investigation.
Yes, she is.
That is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, this is a, but
so I'm taking people on this
call. All right, let's do it this way. Yeah, we can do it this way. Don Mazzaglia would like to put a proposal on the agenda at the moment, which requires a two-thirds vote, since we didn't agree to it from the beginning. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay.
Okay, the ayes have it. Can I make the proposal?
I need a roll call because I didn't hear any responses on either.
I heard no no's. That's what I heard.
I'll take it again. I didn't hear that same thing, so let me try it again. We need a two-thirds vote in favor of putting this new item on the agenda, a proposal that we make this a first priority for our conference call. Is it for the conference call you're requesting this, Don?
Yeah, I'd like to state exactly what it is that we're proposing.
You can state it, but don't motivate it. Just state it. State the proposal.
No, I want to state it. Okay, let me state it.
Yeah.
The statement is this. I propose that the nine people that are on this conference call take a vote as to whether they want to make a citizen's grand jury investigation the primary focus for this conference call group at this time.
What meaning what? What does it mean to make it a focus?
In other words, get started with whatever has to be done to get a citizen's grand jury investigation, starting as of now. And that the people that are on this call will take a vote on whether they want to do this or they don't. Because Annie is proposing it. She says they're doing it in Virginia. And I think it should be something that's done all over.
Let me clarify there, Joe, that I didn't say that we were doing a citizen grant, convening a citizen grand jury regarding for 9/11 solely. There are quite a few issues with our criminal justice system here in this county, also in a couple other counties, that we're going to use a citizen grand jury to unseat, hopefully, or you know, bring to attention Commonwealth attorneys who are in cahoots with the sheriff department, who are in cahoots with the judges. So I'd have to disagree with the proposal as you stated. I would, for one, do a nay and disagree because our focus has got to be where God is leading us. And there's a lot of different issues, and there's a lot of different avenues or many different problems
Annie, you just stated, excuse me, I'd like to say this.
I've been on the staff.
Annie,
yeah, Robin. Hang on a second. Let's let Don finish and then you can
investigation. Okay. Annie just stated that there are citizens' grand jury investigations going on in Virginia in terms of criminality within the justice system with nothing on 9/11.
And early planning stage is not actually a citizen grand jury. It's not, you know, there's no such thing right now. I'm saying that getting the conversation going and figuring out how to establish one is where I'm heading, and that's what I was reporting.
That's
so.
Exactly where I'm heading also, Annie, the same thing.
Okay, all right.
9/11 should be included.
Yeah, excuse me, Don. It should be, okay. You made a proposal that we put this on the agenda right now for vote, okay? Would anybody like to speak against the proposal? Don has already spoken for it. Would anybody like to speak against it?
Robin,
go ahead.
Yes, I wonder whether this person understands Mike Gravel's initiative about a citizen's grand jury for 9/11. It seems to me that somebody is already well down the road here.
I don't know that Mike. You're talking about Senator Gravel. I don't believe. From what I've read about it, I don't think he's actually proposed a citizen's grand jury yet, or maybe I haven't read about it. But I'm willing to listen. Has he done such a thing already?
Yes, I suggest somebody has that website on this line. I don't have it at the tip of my head,
okay.
But I suggest
I can give you the website and also clarify the question if you wish me to, Robin.
Sure.
Okay, this is Ken Freeland. Since I happen to be the campaign manager of that campaign, let me just give you a brief synopsis, Donald, of what they're up to, what it's up to, okay?
Ken,
the proposal is...
What's your last name, Ken?
Ken Freeland.
Okay.
Freeland,
sure.
F-R-E-L-A-N-D.
Okay.
The purpose is the state ballot initiative to authorize the creation of a citizen's citizen's 9/11 commission, which would have grand jury powers vested in it by that state, okay? That's the way that campaign is set up, and that's what its purpose is.
All right, this would be something that could be done without going for a ballot, as I believe a citizen's grand jury can be started without putting it on for a ballot, state ballot.
Your proposal is different. Okay.
my right. proposal is that we start, we at least investigate initiating a citizens grand jury investigation through the people that are working on 9/11 truth. We're past finding 9/11 truth. We know what it is.
Okay, you've already motivated it. Fair enough, Don. You've already motivated it. Would anybody else like to speak to the issue before we vote on it? The vote is for the conference, people on the conference call to support this tactic as our focus. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Sheila Casey. I would like to say something about it.
Yeah, go ahead, Sheila.
I can't tell if I'm on speaker or not here. There, I guess that's right. Okay, I am not in favor of it. Everything I've seen over the last 10 months or so convinced me that the 9/11 truth movement is being driven off a cliff, and I think our most important priority is to focus on rooting out infiltration of the 9/11 truth movement, because it's not going to do us any good to get that investigation if the investigation is being led by people who have an agenda other than the truth. And I currently think that that's what we're facing in the 9/11 truth movement. We have people who've been in positions of leadership for a long time in the truth movement who are now seeming to be showing what I guess are unfortunately their true colors, in that they are denying some things which are undeniable. So in my mind, that means that they are no longer truthers, and I think that is my top priority. I'm not going to make this other thing my top priority.
Okay. Would anybody else like to speak? No, Don. You cannot just barge in. We do have.
I'd like to answer that.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because you haven't been given the floor, Don, and other people have the right to speak again before you speak again. Excuse me, Don Mazzarelli.
Calling Don Mazzarelli.
You were reminded before you came on this call, Don, that you were going to be more cooperative with our standard practice and our way of sharing the floor and of not being demanding. But I don't believe that you're complying with that agreement at this time.
Would you continue to interrupt?
Your practice in the past has been to continually interrupt people and demand to be in the middle of a conversation.
Sorry, and it's what you're doing again. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Who else would like the floor to speak to this question before we vote on it?
Craig McKee.
Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't see how we can, I would oppose it just because I don't see how this teleconference can choose one priority. I think we're looking at the whole 9/11 truth cause from a variety of points of view, and I think, you know, different groups and different members can start initiatives, but I don't think we can narrow our focus to one thing. And so I would oppose putting that on the agenda for that reason.
Okay. Anybody else would like to speak for or against who hasn't spoken yet? All right. Is there any objection to putting
discussion? I'd like to have discussion on the two people that spoke, if I could, before they take the vote. I believe that out of fairness you can do that. In other words, two people have spoken. The first one talked about infiltration.
All right. I hear your request.
There should be allowed discussion on that. I believe you should.
If nobody else who has not had a chance to speak yet wishes to speak, then we'll see if people want to go around for a second round, okay? Would anybody like to speak?
Robin,
go ahead.
Yes, I think the person making this movement has had the opportunity to particular subject to the agenda items prior to this evening, and that did not happen. I speak against this motion because it seems like it is a hijacking of taking whatever the collective objectives are in this evening's teleconference and narrowing it down and changing it to one item. I speak against
this. This is wrong. This was a
If you continue to interrupt, I'm going to take you off the call, okay? You cannot continue to jump in like that. We don't do it that way anymore, okay? people take their turn.
If something is a wrong statement, I think it should be corrected. I should have the chance to correct an incorrect statement.
No, you cannot dominate this discussion. You're not going to be allowed to dominate the discussion just because you made the motion.
I'm saying it's a wrong statement.
Yes, you are. You're continuing to take the floor without being given it, Don, and that's a violation of our way of doing things, okay? And I'm not going to accept it. No, either you're going to stop that or you're going to get off the call, okay? I'm not going to put up with it any longer. This is what you used to do in the old days, and that's why people booted you off of this call. Well, I think we may have lost Don. I'm not sure.
No, I'm still here. I'm listening.
Oh, you're still here. All right, you're going to be respectful of the procedure? Okay, fine.
Well, I thought I was respectful.
Like to speak. No, you're not, Don. Every time you interrupt, you're disrespecting the procedure. Now, who else who has not spoken yet would like to speak to this issue? All right. I don't hear anybody who hasn't spoken yet. Don, if you are given another chance to speak, can you keep it to 2 minutes, do you think?
Yes, I can. I would like to address all three comments.
All right. You have two minutes to do that, and then we're going to take a vote if nobody else wishes to speak.
Number one, yes, there are infiltrators within the 9/11 truth movement. However, once a citizen's grand jury is formed, you can subpoena witnesses. Number two, I did propose this as an agenda item for tonight, so that is an incorrect statement that the gentleman made last. And what was the third one? The third one was, again, in terms of my gravel, we can bypass going for having this put on a ballot. We can get a citizen's grand jury investigation started. So I've addressed all three comments, and I'd like to take a vote on it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to adjust the second one because this is important for you to understand, Don, as well as all the rest of it, how we get an item on the agenda. If you want an item on the agenda for the conference call, you must submit it before the weekend prior to the conference call, or you can show up early enough on the conference call that when we form the agenda, that you add it at that time. Everybody had the opportunity to do that today. You weren't here to do it, okay? Now, you want to add it at this last moment, okay? You want to just throw it in there. See, that's not the way we do things. It's not fair to the rest,
okay? That's fine.
His point was taken, that you are definitely throwing this in without having added to the agenda. So,
I will withdraw my proposal. I will withdraw my proposal, and I will send an email to you for distribution to all the members prior to the next meeting. Is that fair? I'm withdrawing it. I said I'll send it ahead of time for the next meeting.
I'll tell you what. Submit it to Anna Eisley. Annie Eisley can add it to the minutes as your proposal for the next meeting.
Okay. How do you spell Eisley? And I need an email address.
Anna@teapartynineelevenTruth.org.
Wait, Anna at teaparty. Let me get this down, please. 911truth.org. And then how do you spell your last name, Anna?
It's a little better.
You don't need
Anna,
it for the email address.
You won't.
I'll
send
you an
email. Let's move on to the next agenda item, which is discussion mode. It's now 9 o'clock, so maybe I'm going to have to sign off soon myself because I got another conference call coming up tonight. But we can go ahead and get discussion mode. Point of order, go ahead.
And point of order, that before we got distracted by this latest, Anna was actually engaged in talking about what her are down in Virginia, and I wanted to be on the next and talk.
Yeah, I recognize your point of order is taken, and Anna, it was still your point. We were still on your item. Would you like to complete that? And then, I'm sorry, who wanted to get on the stack? Robin, was that you? Who was just requesting to be on the stack?
Robin,
yeah, okay. So, Anna, do you have anything further to say? And then Robin is on the stack.
I just wanted to say that forming or convening our citizen grand juries and the very, you know, figuring out how to do it, and it's not is for specific legal issues that are happening amongst citizens that we know. So, so I would just want to make that clear. I think that I want what I'm seeing is that we're setting a precedent. And I've had to go about doing things, whether it's taking, we just had one of the citizens take the Commonwealth attorney and ask the clerk's office to arrest him, have him arrested. So he had a writ of arrest for the Commonwealth attorney. Well, no one's done this in a generation, a lawyer told me, but it's on the books. This is something citizens can do. If you believe that your sheriff is not, just for instance, if your sheriff is not doing it, his job and not arresting, for instance, a Commonwealth attorney because they're in cahoots, conspiracy, whatever you think, they should be, you know, separate, that's constitutional. But if you, and you can't, so you can't take it to the sheriff because you know that he's in cahoots, but you can take it to the clerk's office. So so we did that, for instance. So that's a precedent that was, that's being set here, I believe, you know, in the early stages. And I believe that that is where we're going to go, where 9/11 is pushing us, because we have attempted, we have to go to our local, we have to take, you know, local government over and do citizen involvement on a local level. The federal level is just a waste of time and a waste of energy, and it's not going anywhere, and they know it. So that's why, you know, all this attention on the federal elections, federal politics, all over the media, because it doesn't matter. There's no, we have no representation in Washington, D.C., in my opinion. So, so I have, like, okay, well, I'm cutting out of all federal, national, you know, efforts at this point, because until you alert your local citizenry and take back your local judicial and criminal justice system, it will continue to work against us. So, so that's, you know, that's what I want to share.
Thank you, Anna. Robin, your person on the chat?
Yes, just 2 points, Anna. Number one, if it's possible for you to throw something on to the agenda every week and give yourself or give us a very brief report on your status of what you're doing instead of getting us into the weeds, that would be great. And then my second point is a question, actually, which is there still any, is there any talk or any life to the idea of having an annual Pentagon American 77 conference every year in and or about Veterans Day or in November of every year?
So where would it be held, Robin?
Somewhere in D.C. Somebody came up with that idea a while ago, and I thought it was a great idea. That's the one thing that we can really do, because my position is we've got Gage and Architects. We've got some solid stuff probably coming out of Toronto. There are some things about the consensus thing that are going on, and I think that if we – if and obviously we've got what's going on in New York City almost every year, and then if we have this type, we develop an annual Pentagon American 77 discussion and sharing of information, I just really think that's a really stable, forward way ahead.
I think so, too. I really like the idea. Can I get put on the stack, Ken?
Yeah, go ahead and respond to him, man. He's asking you.
Okay, right, that's right. I would be all for, absolutely all for the idea, except to knock off a specific agenda item such as the Flight 77, or is that what you call it? There is a lot going on in the Pentagon outside 9/11, from child pornography to stealing they're saying at least $10 trillion is accounted, unaccounted for, and or missing or stolen. Oh, so we've got grand. I mean, you know, the biggest idea of theft besides the Federal Reserve. You got this theft going on. You got child pornography going on. And then there's the questions about 9/11. So I propose that we do an investigation of Pentagon, but don't stop at any particular issue, and allow all those who could fill us in as to what is the work ends there, what's the hierarchy, who knows, you know, who's above who answers to who. I think that that would, you know, I could be behind that for sure. And I actually think that was my idea. I could be wrong, but I think it was my idea, 11-11-11, you know, for the Veterans Day, have a Pentagon. But I've always held not just to hold it just to 9/11. So.
What is American 77? I don't know what that means.
Flights?
Yikes.
Oh, well, who proposed the Pentagon every year? I forget who that was. Was it Robin?
Robin.
Yeah. So what did you call that? The Pentagon, an investigation of the Pentagon.
It's hard for me to believe that I'm on a call about 9/11 and somebody can actually separate the events in the Pentagon with the flight of American 77. That's astounding. So, anyways, I have no more comments.
I asked the question because I didn't understand. That's why I asked questions.
American 77 is the alleged aircraft that crashed into the Pentagon.
Fine. Thank you.
Okay, any other comments on this before we move on to our next item? Thanks for that, Anna, for that report. And now we're ready for our open discussion on which we have agreed for three specific items of discussion tonight. I'm just going to mention them, and then people can discuss whichever of them they wish, I guess, in any order.
In the order, please. They're all separate.
Well, the question is then how much time do we allow to each, because it's already we've already been on the call over an hour, so how would you like to suggest that we organize that?
It's just an opinion and fact-finding thing, 5 minutes, 3 minutes each, that's all.
Oh, I see. You just want us to go around once for each one?
Sure.
Okay, well, that's a good proposal, so why don't we try it that way? The first question is, please give your opinion about the relation of the Occupy movement to the 9/11 movement, but try to keep your response brief and pointed, please, okay? Who would like to go first?
Don Mussurlian.
Don?
I think they both lack central leadership. The Occupy movement is very disparate. The last count I heard, there were about 3,000 Occupy movements in the United States. I wrote an article that's going to be published. In fact, it's going to come out this month in January, in which I'm proposing a unifying factor that at the Occupy movements, they pledge allegiance to a flag and the Constitution of the United States, and that the sovereign states themselves have the right to go ahead and change the Pledge of Allegiance to include the Constitution.
How does this relate to the relationship between the 9/11 movement and the Occupy movement?
Because they both need leadership, and I'm saying...
Do I have time to talk or what? No,
yes,
you don't.
I don't like to be interrupted any more than you do.
Well, I'd like to say something without it being interrupted, Ken, okay? Well, then I'd like to know.
I made a very specific statement.
You forced me to interrupt you by going off topic, you see.
I'm not off topic. You're both lacking central leadership. You're both.
Thank you. That's the problem.
And you've already taken 2 minutes.
Thank you for your input.
Next person. Who else would like to speak?
Without anybody else, Robin, I'll sort of repeat what I repeated last time, and I feel that the entire Occupy movement actually is an offspring of the 9/11 Truth movement, where we've reached out to the people, and I'm still finding very positively the fact that the Occupy movements in the area in the Pacific Northwest here are much more open to dealing with 9/11 than in any preceding organizations, including the peace movement. So I consider it to be a real positive sign, and I hope that people, when they get an opportunity to engage with or inform those in the Occupy movement, that they take that opportunity. Occupy means to get involved, and that means that eyes and ears are more open than ever before. This is a real good sign, in my view.
This is James Hufford, and I certainly agree with him, and I think that the Occupy movement provides us, it has gotten a lot more play in the media and a lot more, I think, a lot more people in the country are aware of it than are aware of the 9/11 Truth Movement and our identification with it and maybe favorable mentions of us by it can only help us. And I note especially that the Occupy movement is amazingly well received in polls that I've seen by the American public, and I think our identification with it can only help us.
Okay, thanks, James. Did you get that, James? James was on the call from Anna, James Hufford.
Yeah, I came in late. I was detained. I came in late.
Okay, great. All right, Who else would like to speak to this question of the relationship of the 9/11 movement to the Occupy movement? Since nobody else is volunteering, I'll just say very quickly that I found kind of the opposite. I've definitely tried to work with our local 9/11 movement in Houston and have been very unsuccessful. I find that they're very focused around bread and butter type issues, at least in Houston, much less concerned with anything having to do with our policy or governmental justice like 9/11. A significant minority will block any effort to take the discussion in that direction, in my experience. Who else would like to speak? I would. Who's me?
This is Ben in Seattle, 9/11 Truth Seattle.
Ben, yeah, go ahead. Ben, go ahead.
I'm actually not aware of any Occupy groups that have officially endorsed a call for a new investigation of 9/11. If there are some, I'd like to hear about it. I think we should be pressing them to include that demand, but I'm not aware that any have so far.
Robin.
Robin, go ahead.
Yes, I'm not making a claim that we should hijack the Occupy movements. I'm just simply making a point that there is less resistance in the Occupy movements that I have interrelated with than there has been resistance in other peace-type activities or activist movements in the last 5 or 7 years. I'm just saying that some barriers have been dropped down and that we should take advantage of this. If anybody thinks that you're going to walk in there into their movement and what's going on, which is that everything is wrong, and all of a sudden reorganize them and refocus them and say, well, let's do a 9/11 first, I think that would be, number one, obnoxious, number two, very unrealistic.
This is Anna about the Occupy movement. To me, the only thing interesting in the only live interesting information and energies coming out of either the 9/11 participants or their circles or the Ron Paul. So to me, if anyone's not affiliated with either 9/11 or Ron Paul, to me, they're just a bunch of know-nothings. That's my opinion.
Okay. Is anybody else that hasn't spoken yet like to speak to this question, or should we move to the next question? Hearing none, then we'll move to the next one, which is the status of the 9/11 truth movement in general. Who would like to start?
I'd like to address the 9/11 truth movement in general. The thing I keep hearing is another investigation. We don't need any more investigations. We need a citizens' grand jury investigation. That's the only investigation we need.
Okay. Who else would like to speak?
Robin on the stack.
Okay. Robin?
Yes. My feeling in the 9/11 truth movement as we are right now is still quite positive because I'm sensing that we are moving into the social networking system. Even though nothing is particularly settled or there are various opinions, still the subject is being put out there. And also what I would like to say is that in one way or another, as we move ahead, we should probably be looking at kind of a locker room activity and then a PR, a public relations activity. And with Richard Gage's, an architect's great work with Toronto about to, kind of be exposed, whatever they come up with, a questionable but I think important consensus process that's going on with Griffin. And then my pet is someday I hope to have an annual meeting in the Washington, D.C. area about the Pentagon and American 77. I think that we have got kind of simple and some non-controversial information just sort of to continue to press or get out into the public. And then at the same time, I think that we should keep the locker room debates about the specifics and the workings and who did what, when, where, and how, keep that as alive as well as we can. So I feel very good about the whole thing. That's why I put it on the table.
I'd like to add a comment on to what he just said. Are you familiar with a 9/11 truth researcher who's also an American Muslim advocate named Enver Massoud, who lives in Arlington, Virginia?
I think
he has a website that is, let's see, his organization is called the anyway, if you look him up on the internet, and I don't know why I can't think of his website, but I just thought I had. But anyway, look him up because he is an engineer himself. He lives blocks from the Pentagon, and he has researched it. He has come up with a good kind of a simple man on the streets presentation about the Pentagon. And he made the presentation, and we brought him out to Iowa to our group a couple of years ago, and he made an excellent presentation. And he'd, I'm sure, like to be involved with your planning and participate. And, so I'd greatly suggest that you contact, his name is Enver, E-N-V-E-R, Masood, M-A-S-U-D. And you can, I'm sure, find him on the internet pretty easily.
Thank you. Okay.
The wisdom part, his email, his address, just put The Wisdom Fund is his website, and you'll find out all about it and contact information and everything.
This is Anna. I wanted to just mention something about the citizen grand jury and how my understanding of it is something that can be set up on a local level to in order to address an issue that a case would have standing. So like with 9/11, I can't really see how a citizen grand jury would work in a case of 9/11 because of standing. One reason why they turned down the case of Obama's birth certificate, one reason they refused to hear it, was because the initiators of the case or the suit had no standing. The courts didn't think they had any standing in the case. So I'm not sure. I'm not clear, Don, if this is your thing that you're focusing on. I believe that's why it doesn't work or can't work in this case, because you have to be specifically...
Point of order. Point of order, this discussion has been requested by both participants to be put on the agenda for the next meeting.
Point of order accepted. You're out of order, Anna. We're going to talk about that next week. We're just talking right now about the general state of the 9/11 truth movement. Can you address that?
Do
you want to address that?
I didn't have anything else to say regarding that. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else would like to speak to the topic at hand, the general state of the 9/11 truth movement? Anyone who hasn't had a chance to speak yet? All right, then I guess we're ready for our last topic, and that's the 11th anniversary of 9/11 Truth and how to make way for that, I guess. Robin, why don't you go ahead and Joel. It was Joel or Robin that gave us these topics?
Robin,
why don't you just start this one off for us, since it's a little different, and then maybe that'll set the tone for others to respond.
Sure. All I'm doing is planting a seed. Now, the mainstream media and the high perps and the people who are against us lined up all of their ducks on the 10th anniversary thinking that they would make us go away. I'm going to argue a conceptual point that the 11th anniversary is actually an extremely important anniversary on 9/11/2012 to somehow make a point that we have not gone away, and for people to, you know, not back down, not go away, but just simply keep on moving ahead. That's the seed I want to plant for months from now, and that's really all that is.
Okay. Would anybody like to speak to this question?
Yeah, I'd like to mention the number 11 is very significant in the Illuminati. If you can look it up on the internet, there were 18 different incidents. It's tied in the number 11. Number 11 to the Illuminati is a significant change in world affairs. You can check this out. The Twin Towers form in number 11, and there are, like I say, 9 or one. There are 18 of these different things. You can look it up on the internet. So the next year is a very important year, but I would like to see a citizen's grand jury investigated started before then. Otherwise, we're going to just keep marking the anniversary and getting nowhere and solving the problem. New Jersey had about 700, I believe, citizens murdered to answer.
Point of order.
That's
point of order. I'm sorry. We have a point of order.
Next month, please.
Okay,
yes, we need to stay on the topic of next month. I'm sorry, this topic of next year, the next anniversary, okay? And the other topic was already for next month. John, you got that? Okay, well, anybody else like to speak to this question then?
Craig McKee?
Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, just quickly, I guess I do agree with that idea of the number 11 being important, and so I think I'm sort of keeping my eyes open to see what's going to happen this year because of that, see if there are any more events that happen. But I think last year the Bin Laden affair was kind of conveniently timed to precede the 10th anniversary. And I kind of suspected at the time that whole charade was kind of cooked up as a way of kind of taking the wind out of the sails of the truth movement as the 10th anniversary approached. That's just speculation on my part, but I strongly suspect that. And so I think, kind of like putting a big push on for the 11th anniversary might actually be a good idea because so much went in from the other side. So much of the sort of emotional stuff got put in for the 10th anniversary. So I think maybe 9/11 truth kind of, maybe didn't get as much attention as it might have gotten otherwise. So I don't have nothing specific about that, but I just sort of agree with it in principle. So that's it.
Okay. Thanks, Craig. Anybody else would like to speak to this question? Anybody else have any ideas about the 11th anniversary of 9/11? Okay, well, it sounds like we've gotten the responses we're going to get on this one. Robin, thank you for the suggestions and for the formatting suggestion, which I think was very, very useful. I think we might want to continue to keep that in mind when we have multiple discussion topics around Robin approach. I guess we're done for tonight. Thank you all for your cooperation. Thanks for the toleration of the background noise, which is very unusual. We usually have a problem with this particular bridge network, but tonight we do. And we'll see you all on the last Wednesday of January, which is going to be January the 25th.
Okay. See you all next year. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Happy New Year.
Bye.
Happy New Year, everybody. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.